Hello, and welcome to Evolving Consciousness, the podcast where you discover more about the invisible world of energy, consciousness, spirituality, and all the things that help you create your dreamiest life and business yet. Here's your host, Stacey Hartman.
Hello, and welcome if this is your first time joining us for the Evolving Consciousness podcast, or welcome back if you've been tuning in to these podcasts since it started. All right, I'm going to start off by being really honest. I always think when I start these podcasts, I should have some really compelling intro and, you know, outline about what we're going to be covering. And I always feel a little awkward when I start new things and also when it's time to say goodbye. So bear with me. This is just the awkward part of who I am, never knowing really how to start and open up one of these podcasts and also how to close it. So in typical Stacey fashion, we're just going to dive right in. I'm going to talk today about a topic that came through, once again, a really powerful channeling session. This particular channeling session was for me and probably also for you because it came at a time that I was consumed with thinking about, planning, preparing, strategizing, doing all the business things, which I absolutely love. And I was disconnected. It's those times in your life where maybe you are so focused on a goal or so focused on a vision that it's easy to put other things to the side. And in this case, I was putting channeling to the side. And there was a commitment I made to myself. And the whole purpose of this podcast is really for me to continue to sustain balance, for me to continue to ensure that I am tapping into the 100% spirit part of myself while I'm also running a full coaching practice, which is really connected to the 100% human part of myself. And I wanted to do it differently when I decided to come back out of hiding and really ensure that I had some measures in place that would allow me to stay completely tapped in, connected to source, while simultaneously totally living the fullest human experience of continuing to grow a business, scale a business, help my clients, do the marketing, do the selling, do all the businessy stuff. And so this podcast is the way that I keep myself tethered to source. All that to say, you're going to find and see, and I'm open to accountability, that I disappear for maybe weeks at a time. And that is a good clue that I am falling out of balance, which is exactly what was happening when I decided to come back to channeling. And I got the nudge, like, get back here. Remember, you set an intention, you made a commitment to really stay connected to these both 100% human aspects of yourself and 100% spirit aspects of yourself. So that's just a little bit about what's been happening in my world and why and where this particular channeling session came from. And I just want to say the beings of light are so loving and so accepting and find our humanness so freaking hilarious that we opened it up with them really just acknowledging how hard it was for me to come back into the channeling space and connect in, because man, was I on the train of just go, 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 and strategy and all of those human things. So they reminded me very quickly. They reminded me, remember where this all started. Remember, this was all about connecting in with us. It wasn't about a podcast. It wasn't about sharing things with others. It wasn't about business. It was for me. This was for me. And they reminded me that there's no expectation and no need for our time together, meaning myself and the beings of light while we're channeling, to share it out. But if I want to do it, and if I don't, I don't. Basically, they just wrote me a big fat permission slip to just be, which was the whole point of this in the first place. So all that to say, this particular channeling session, after they gave me the full permission slip to just be and receive the messages they wanted to bring through to me, it was very clear that those messages were also for you. So that is why we are here on this podcast. So this one's going to be all about your receiving state. It is absolutely impossible to stand out, to innovate, to be creative, to be intuitive, to be a trailblazer, bringing out fresh, new, innovative, creative ideas, and not just being a copycat, not just regurgitating stuff that's already been masterminded or created. until or unless you are in a fully receptive state. And the more deeply you find yourself in a receiving and receptive state, the more you're able to create things that have never been created before. Innovate things that are in service to you, your life, and in service to all of humanity. So that's where we're going today. So if you have found yourself recently or currently or know in the past that you have been in a state where your mind is racing a million miles an hour, the first thing you need to know is that is the furthest thing from a receptive state. That is a graspy state. A receptive state is wide open. A receptive state is your heart ready to receive, soaking up the nourishment, the life force, water, energy that replenishes and repairs all of the things that are damaged in our energy fields just because we're human. Think about that. Being human takes its toll on our energetic soul, spiritual aspects of our being. And a receptive state opens us up for that spontaneous healing and reconnection and revibrancy, if that's a word, for our entire being. And so when we can remember that and use what I'm going to be sharing with you today to constantly find our way back to a receptive state, we receive that healing frequency and that energy in our system. And when we do that, things can figure themselves out. This receptive state is a time of incredible nourishment. It's a remembering of your cells. It's a remembering of your visible and invisible energy fields and dimensions of who you really are. And it comes when you are completely present and you're open and allowing. When you are not in the future thinking about all of the possibilities and everything that can be, and when you're not in the past ruminating about things that have happened or exploring things that have maybe worked in the past or didn't work in the past, both of those states puts you in a closed out, non-receptive place. Basically, the lights are out, not open for business, not open for source to use you and contribute to your own expansion. And when we are in that receptive state, you have access to an entire network, the entire network of all the dimensions. And not just a part of you has access to all of those dimensions, but it is literally like plugging in to everything that is available, to all that is, to the quantum field, to the infinite field of possibilities, to the infinite field of creation. This is what lights you up when you plug in to that receptive state. Everything starts with receiving. The image that was shared with me through this particular session was how, yes, absolutely everything starts with receiving. So the first image that they shared was an egg and an egg's ability to fully receive sperm for life creation. Or electricity. In order for the lights to turn on, the plug must fully receive the electricity and the current. You can probably look at pretty much everything and recognize that everything is a connection, is a something receiving something else in order for the world to go round. The real disease, physical, mental, whatever it may be, is just our lack of capacity to receive. When we are closed off or incapable of receiving, there is no way we can receive or get the natural healing that comes with the infinite intelligence that our body has. We don't get to receive our body's own innate wisdom. And when you are open, you receive that wisdom and that intelligence and a magnificence that is happening without any efforting on our part. There is only one thing that shuts off our ability to receive or dampens our capacity to receive. And this is a spectrum. It's not like either you're receiving or you're not. You can be in a fully open receptive state on one end of the spectrum, where your heart is wide open, everything is wide open, just soaking in the juiciness of source energy. I would say channeling is one of those states. And you can be on the other end of the spectrum, which is completely closed off, shut down, zero currents from source coming to you. And you can be anywhere in the middle of that entire spectrum. The key is to have the awareness and recognize where you are. But ultimately, what really determines where you are is the level and degree of fear that you are experiencing consciously or subconsciously. And that's where it gets really tricky, because it's not always so obvious. It's amazing how well our mind can actually cover up, disguise, and put a veil over hidden subconscious fears. This is what I refer to as consciousness maintenance. This is where we might not think we have very much fear, yet if we are really good at having a positive outlook, turning lemons into lemonade, rationalizing, justifying, explaining things away, you wouldn't be aware of all the fears that you're explaining away, or that you're rationalizing, or that you're having to turn into something positive. And this is really where the most damage is done. There's actually something that's come up for me a lot. You see this a lot when there's tragic loss, you know, when you hear stories about people dying who were really healthy. They ate healthy, they exercised, they did all the things that on the outside looked like they were living a very healthy life. But what we can't see, and what I would suspect might be happening under the surface, is that underneath the surface, all of the things that on the external looked very healthy, positive mindset, happy, outgoing, healthy, all of those things. How do we know for sure that that wasn't just consciousness maintenance, that that wasn't just what we were putting forward that was covering up a lot of unconscious, subconscious, unseen fears? Because it's what's rumbling underneath the surface that is actually creating the frequency and the vibration that's determining our vitality and our radiance and what's happening in our bodies and in our minds. It's not always the stuff that we can see. In fact, I would say when we can see it, then we know that we can work with it. When we're aware of it, then we have something to explore. But when we aren't aware of it, those are the silent killers. So it's that fear, the fear that, yes, we physically see, we experience, we're aware of, but also the fear that's fed in the subconscious and the unconscious, that we have become so good at, as quickly as it comes up, talking ourselves out of it. That is the more dangerous place. What kills us, actually, what hurts us, what harms us, what perpetuates a stuckness and a confusion and all of those energetics that don't feel the greatest, is not that we have them, it's that we're unaware of them. That's when it really gets tricky. And that's what consciousness maintenance does, is it is such an automatic pilot programming that makes us believe we're not afraid, that we're not attached, that we're not judgmental. Because the minute that we get a tinge of that fear, judgment, or attachment, our mind works so fast to hide it, to cover it up, that we can't even be aware of it. So fear is the thing that shuts us down from being in a receptive state. It shuts us down from accessing the all-knowing wisdom, the source energy, the creation energy. It shuts down your capacity to receive from all the dimensions. And here's where it gets really interesting, especially because when it's happening on a subconscious level, that fear still creates a space in your energetic system, and space loves to be filled. So what fills the space when there's subconscious fears rumbling under the surface that we may be aware of or may not be aware of? What fills that space is our own susceptibility to other people's programming, beliefs, opinions. And because like energy attracts like energy, it's our susceptibility to expanding on the subconscious fears that are already there. It's like a snowball rolling down a hill, and we don't even know it's happening, most of us. And this is one thing that I have really become good at seeing and witnessing in people and pretty much instantly can drum up all of that subconscious stuff that they're completely unaware of so that we can look at it and accept it and get into that receptive state where all the magic really happens. So it's fear that makes us easily persuaded without even knowing we're being persuaded. It's fear, conscious or unconscious, subconscious, that makes us entranced to other people's beliefs and programming. And usually what we're in training to is more fear, and it takes on a life of its own. This is why when we watch the news, it can feel so depressing, because it feeds on the subconscious fear that's already there. It feeds on and entrances us and hypnotizes us to that susceptibility of already not being in a receptive place because of our own fears. And here's the thing, it's not the media's fault. It's our own responsibility. It's begging us to really get brutally honest with ourselves, to stop the automatic programming of consciousness maintenance, and to really look at and honor and experience those things that are happening at the subconscious level within ourselves. Because it's only when we do that, that then we're not susceptible to the messages that are being directed at us from every single angle. It's on us. It's on us as individuals, not on anything else. And there's a lot of energy extended, exhausted in the direction of trying to shift something externally rather than realizing that when you go to the core, when you work with the energetics within you as an individual, that is when everything externally shifts and changes as well. So fear is the thing that shuts us down. Fear shuts down those receptors. And it exists on every end of the spectrum. And frankly, you know fear exists because duality exists. Where there is duality, or where there is hierarchy, there is a shutting down of your receptors and your ability to receive wisdom and life force, source, creative energy, regenerative energy. So fear and judgment actually have a very interesting relationship. Judgment creates separation. Anything we judge, we are separating ourselves from. Anything that is judged on us is simply people just separating themselves from us. It's just an energetic move. It's an energetic frequency. It's a subconscious program. So judgment is anything that there is hierarchy, anything that we say is good, bad, right, wrong. Anything that we label is really judgment. And that judgment then can trigger, because of the separation, the fear of not belonging. And the fear of not belonging is the deepest fear that is ingrained in every single one of us, because it's the opposite end of the spectrum. In our 100% spiritual realm, we are one with all. There is oneness, the law of one. And in the other end of the spectrum, the complete opposite is the deepest fear of not belonging and being alone and literally being the only one. So you can see that immense duality that is really driving the majority of our fears, judgments, and attachments. And I'm not going to go into it in this podcast, but that's what Syzygy really does, is it reconciles that duality. Syzygy is a process that has come to me about coming to radical acceptance of the opposite end of the spectrum. And through radical acceptance, in this case, of being alone and being only one, that you access the back door to oneness, where that duality just kind of pops into all that is. All this to say, anytime you have an opinion that one thing is better or more right than another thing, you can be rest assured that your capacity to receive is compromised. Your receptors are closed off. This is a very hard thing for us as humans to grasp, because the entire purpose of this third dimension is to live in this duality. This is why we are in this dimension, to live in this duality. However, as we are evolving our consciousness, and as we are evolving as humans, we are reconciling this duality. And so we're kind of in this in-between space right now, which is what Evolving Consciousness, this podcast, is all about. Because when you reconcile duality, you open yourself up to the other dimensions, the dimensions beyond this third dimension. So duality's job is to keep us locked into this current dimension. However, when we start to release, first recognize, and then release by accepting our fear, judgment, and attachment, we then are increasing our capacity to receive from dimensions beyond this current dimension. So this is where we now can access new solutions, wise solutions, new innovations. Basically, everything we have a question about in this third dimension, the solutions exist in the dimensions beyond this dimension. And in order to receive them, we have to explore our fears, attachments, and judgments. I believe this is what Einstein meant when he said, you can't solve the problems from the same level of thinking that created them. What I interpret that to mean is that you can't solve the problems that exist on this third dimension from third dimensional thinking of duality, fear, judgment, and attachment. Solutions only exist in the other dimensions, which means we have to turn up our receptor lights. We have to open up our capacity to receive. And also, isn't this the definition of insanity? Trying to do the same thing and expecting different results? Trying to solve problems from the third dimension and expecting that we're actually going to find solutions there? The more we try to do that, the more problems we actually keep creating in this dimension of the third dimension. The solutions only exist in a broader perspective. And we don't have access to that broader perspective until we release, alchemize, transmute, accept our hidden fears, judgments, and attachments. And how you accept or alchemize judgment is through acceptance, through radical acceptance of the both and, radical acceptance of all of the things that you're judging as bad or wrong or inconvenient or whatever it is. And how you alchemize fear is through trust. Because really, the only fear is the fear of the unknown, which is why, in order to transmute fear, we have to trust and know and believe in the powers of self-organizing energy. I've already shared in previous podcasts how we humans interfere with self-organizing energy through our desires for control. And the reason why we want to control things is because of the fear of the unknown. And what's really beautiful is there've been a lot of teachers coming out, you know, spiritual teachers, guides, mentors, teaching this concept of surrendering and letting go. But what's also kind of funny is then people judge surrendering as something that is good, and thereby they cut off and shut down their receptors the second that they label surrendering as being the answer or something good. It's really a funny thing how we still, as humans, find something to control, something to attach to, something to judge, something to label. And it makes sense, because when we're afraid of the unknown, we want to hold on to and become attached to the known, and we want to keep it at all costs, even when that means shutting down our receptive state. There's that funny quote that you've probably heard 100 times about, do you want to be right or do you want to be happy? It's the perfect example. Our human actually will choose safety, security, the known, something that's controllable, over access to the divine wisdom. Our human will actually choose righteousness, being right, judging other people for being wrong, over access to the divine source energy of creation and life. That's just how our human sees the world. But remember, you are 100% human and 100% spiritual. So more recently, a personal story, as I mentioned at the beginning of our time together, I've been immersing myself in one of my passions, which is authentic strategies for growing your business. I love all things strategy. I'm like wicked smart at putting puzzle pieces together and coming up with new kind of frameworks and just putting all of it together in a really like systemized, formulaic kind of way. I love it. It's like putting a puzzle together. And I love especially coming up with it because I get to share it with my clients and teach them some new ways to share their gifts with the world. But the thing is that whenever I go into strategy, whenever I go into this super intellectual, wicked smart place of my mind, I immediately get sucked into exploring these answers from the third dimension, which is the same place I'm trying to do something that's different than what anybody else has ever taught or ever done around generating leads and growing your business and having authentic sales conversations. And so, like we've been talking about, this is still something I get so sucked into. I get so connected to the third dimension. And one of the ways that I know I've officially like gotten sucked into trying to find answers, new answers, innovative answers in the third dimension, which is absolutely impossible to do, is when I start consuming content like a freaking madwoman. Now, this is like one of my greatest gifts, but also my biggest nemesis. I can read so fast. I mean, I could do a 250-page book in probably 30 minutes flat. So all of a sudden, when I find myself finding answers or looking for answers and I'm totally sucked into the third dimension and I forget that I've got access to all these other dimensions, I start reading and reading and reading and deducing and succincting, if that's a word, information. But it's everybody else's information. It's information that's already been created. And I get just locked in and I get super graspy and obsessed. Like I can hardly, almost manic, I can hardly even think straight. And this is a pattern that shows up for me over and over and over again. And thank goodness I was in this pattern and I got the nudge, channel. Remember the commitment you made yourself. Channel. Connect back in. And this is the message that came through for me and now for you. It is only in these other dimensions that we get to access creativity and flow and fresh insights and solutions. And they pop in effortlessly, simply. I remember specifically a time when I experienced this as a teenager. I was holding this question. I really wanted to land a specific jump. I was a figure skater. I was practicing every single day, getting up at the butt crack of dawn, committed to really, I just loved figure skating. I loved everything about it. I loved the way the chill in the air and the being in the air, floating and flying and spinning so fast and mastering like new things and being stretched. I mean, everything about figure skating just made me feel alive. But there was one jump in particular that I could not land. And I knew that in order for me to be able to compete at a higher level, I had to land this jump. Otherwise, I was literally stuck. And so I remember right before I went to bed one night, I was asking the question very curiously. I was like, how can I land this jump? What do I need to do in order to land this jump? And I knew like I had the strength, I had everything, I had the speed, like I had everything that I needed to be able to land this jump, but for some reason wasn't landing it. And wouldn't you know it, the solution came to me in a dream. And it was so creative and so unique and so different. And I actually received the guidance in the dream to take off on this jump from a different angle than how every coach has ever taught it. Because what was really tricky about this jump was you had to shift your weight in midair in order to land it. So I would always find myself sliding on my butt across the ice because by the time I shifted my weight in thin air, it was too late and I couldn't land it. And so this solution that came was like how to take off in kind of a backwards way that allowed me to shift my weight more quickly, thereby sticking the jump. And wouldn't you know it, I went to the ice the next morning. The solution was so clear and so obvious. I went to the ice the next morning, and I landed it on the very first try. I get goosebumps still just thinking about that, how simple and unique and different the solution was. And this is the jump that every skater struggles with. And never, ever, I asked all my coaches, have you ever thought of this? Have you ever thought of that? And they're like, no, why would you do it that way? You just need to keep practicing it this way that we've been teaching you. But wouldn't you know it, it worked. That is what I mean by solutions coming from other dimensions. This is also why asking questions is more important than looking for answers. Because when you're looking for answers, they're already infused with the third dimension, which means the answers can't exist. The reason you're looking for answers is because you're judging the current thing as a problem, and then your mind wants to solve that problem, leaving out source from being able to answer the problem. This is back to that being in a receptive state. A receptive state means you're open to receiving the answers and the solutions. What that means is what's more important is asking the questions than trying to find the answers. So back to my story, whenever I start consuming content like a madwoman, I myself am not in a receptive state because I am looking for the answers myself as opposed to just receiving them in the same way that I received it in a dream when I wanted to land a jump as a figure skater. So it is way more important to come up with questions and hold those questions in a receptive state than to try to come up with the answers. And there's a certain way to ask questions that allow you to receive, that put you in an even more receptive state. The questions, this won't surprise you because it's what we've been talking about, must not have any frequency of fear, judgment, or attachment. So one of the secret ways, and there are a lot, but I'll share one here right now. One of the secret ways I've learned to ask questions that put me in a receptive state to receive the answers is in a both and framework. Source loves dropping in solutions, ideas, answers when we're asking a question in a both and framework because we're already reconciling duality. We're already reconciling judgment. And so that might sound like, because our mind might be like, oh, I think I got to compromise this in order to get that. So actually, I alluded to this in the last podcast. One of the questions that I've been holding for Source for quite some time is, how can I scale my impact in revenues and also maintain this beautiful life of freedom and spaciousness I'm currently living? How can I have my cake and eat it too? Another great question. Who must I become in order to receive the desires that are on my heart? It's a conversation. It's a dialogue. That's the co-creation process. We just did a program called One, where we went through this entire co-creation process, how to literally keep yourself in a receptive state to receive the magic, miracles, ideas, creativity, everything flooding in. So some ways to recognize when you have fear, attachment, and judgment, and when you are closing yourself off. When you feel a sense of urgency, when things feel timely and you're impatient, when things feel complicated or like you can't figure it out, when it feels like you're moving through mud or things are going so slowly and not moving fast enough, when something feels really important, like do or die sort of energy, when you feel graspy or desperate, when you have doubts or worries or anxieties, when your mind is racing and you can't shut it off. These are all clues that you are attempting to find solutions from the third dimension, and you're forgetting that the real solutions exist beyond this dimension. One of the ways to play with this when you have the awareness that you're blocking yourself from this receptive state is to focus on your emotions instead of your mind. It's a great place to start. Access the emotional state by setting a new intention. An intention that isn't about figuring out the problem, but more from that curious place, like I mentioned. It's like, what else could I be doing? You know, it's the energetic of the question that's even more important than the question in itself. You can pretty much ask anything with an energetic of curiosity. so long as the curiosity is a pure curiosity and not like fragmented into curiosity, pretend curiosity, fear, judgment, all that stuff. So one of the things that I personally have struggled with this message is there's a part of me that actually believed that Source's ideas weren't going to be really for my brain. They weren't going to be like the wicked smart kind of ideas, that they would be more flowy and creative and insightful, you know, that they would have more of an essence than an actual tangible idea. And this belief is what caused me and still causes me to default into figuring shit out on my own, right? So it's where I leave Source out of the picture, because I had this overarching belief like Source is really great at dropping in the essence of things, but not like the specifics of things. And so that's where I've been struggling. And it's funny because I was called to watch Eternals, the newest, I think it's the newest Marvel movie. And in Eternals, it really showed me or revealed to me, again, maybe Source guided me to the movie, I don't know. I really was interested in it. And it revealed to me and gave me a new belief to hang my hat on. And because what it showed was that Source actually has access to technology and frameworks and plans beyond our wildest dreams or anything that our minds can even understand. That it's not just wisdom that Source drops in, but also complete and total intelligence. And they were laughing as I was channeling this. They said, "It's so funny. We laugh because this little measly thing that you, Stacy, are trying to figure out from the mind, that you don't think we have entire like frameworks and technologies and ideas that are totally beyond what your mind can even conceive." And I was laughing too when they started to say that to me. And they went on to say that they're the ones that have dropped in the ideas that have completely evolved technology from day one, that they never came from the human mind, that it's the evolution of technology that is the perfect example. And to remember that Source also can drop in that kind of framework. And that was a big part of the movie for Eternals. One of the superpowers of one of the superheroes was the ability to see the technology ahead of its current time, to be able to see the train engine when there were still horse and buggies, to be able to see the technology for an atomic bomb when it wasn't there yet. And it was just fascinating to see that part of the movie, because it really defied or opened me up to maybe that belief wasn't actually supporting me in my ability to tap into really cool creative ideas. So all that to say, our mind has a tendency to really overcomplicate things. And when we're in a receptive state, it's simplified. It's simplified. It looks and sounds easy. It drops in with ease. And the idea of implementing it feels easy in some way, shape, or form. That's how you'll know when it's coming from other dimensions, by how simple and easy it feels and how obvious it feels, and also how new and different it is. Again, when we go back to my example of skating, it was all of those things. It was so simple and so easy, and it worked, and it was different. Nobody had taught it that way before. So there's another subject that I want to expand on here, and it really is around this ability to receive solutions. The solutions that are coming from the other dimensions are already inherently for the good of all. They're inherently for the good of you, and they're for the good of all of humanity. So you can trust when they're coming from that place, when you recognize and know that that's where they're coming from. However, just because they're coming in through a receptive state in that way doesn't mean that that receptive state receives, once they're received, keeps that state receptive. And this is where I ask the beings of light a lot of questions. I'm really curious about, and always have been curious about, the human mind and what causes people to become evil, I guess, in a sense. And how does that actually happen? I mean, since I was 16 years old, I was obsessed with learning about serial killers, which led me to my career of working with criminals, juvenile delinquents, and I love true crime. I'm super fascinated with cult psychology, like understanding, you know, and watching documentaries on that. I mean, I was really fascinated with, I can't think of his name right now, but he was a motivational speaker, and there were a number of people who died in a sweat lodge ceremony under his kind of guidance. It's like, I love watching how intentions start one way and they might be pure, and then all of a sudden ego kind of comes in and hijacks, and it turns into people who become power hungry and greedy, and all of a sudden, like, what started off as one intention, it kind of transforms into another intention that can create a lot of harm or hurt in the world. So all this to say, that question really came in about this. It's like, well, how come people who are like evil are receiving these incredible, innovative, creative, brilliant things from the other dimensions and from source? And the answer I got, if anybody else is curious about that, the answer I got is that those ideas are always dropped in when somebody's in a pure, clean, receptive state. However, once they receive it, they can snap out of the receptive state and into fear. And receiving these brilliant, powerful source energy frequencies can in and of itself trigger pretty easily fear, judgment, and attachment. And so it's when that is triggered after these things are received that then they take that idea and they start to use it for evil, for their own gain. And it's all coming from that fear that was triggered after receiving the technology or receiving the thing that could transform the world and be good for the entire world. So the thing is that this is a natural human tendency that we all have because we are human. And for us to think that we don't have the capacity to do or become or have the same thing happen, we are once again automatically putting ourselves into a non-receptive state. So these are the pendulums that people can find themselves in when they're accessing these other dimensions. I don't really know this story inside and out. I've read the New Testament a couple times, but not the Old Testament where this story comes from. But what they said is it's like the story of Lucifer, and this could totally be off base. I mean, again, I don't know the ins and outs of some of these stories that drop into my field, but it could be like the story of Lucifer, where he was one of God's greatest angels. Like, he was probably in a most receptive state, or this is the story I'm telling myself. And then he received like so much like power and love and light from source that then he fell back into his humanness. And so that said, it was only because of his receptiveness and his closeness to God that he could also have the power to be as evil as he was, or as whatever the spiritual war or stories are about that. Again, this is just how it dropped in, and I really don't know much about it. So all that to say, it's interesting when you start to think about and you start to bring in a level of neutrality, like how, what if it is true that some of the most evil people in the world actually accessed, even more directly accessed, some of that source energy from a true, pure, receptive state, and then it just went awry, and then their humanness kind of took over. And then rather than using it for the good of all, because of the fear that kind of was triggered inside of them, they used it for the harm. They received, essentially, this is kind of how the message came through as I was channeling, they received this powerful experience, this powerful receiving of source energy. And then when the fear kicked in, it shut him off. It cut him off from that energy. And so where they seek that energy is from taking it from other people. And they take from other people through their greed, through their fear, through their pain, through their sense of loss, through that whole other end of the spectrum, through their being alone, through their wanting experience, that power again, not remembering or realizing it came from source. So they look for it from other people. It's just a fascinating thing to kind of explore from a bigger realm. And that's why we're on this podcast, is I want to explore it from a personal experience and also broaden it out to looking at our humanity and the world as a whole, and how this plays out on really micro scales in our personal lives with kind of little things, and how it also plays out in huge ways with the programming of all of us and how we are all interacting in this duality, in this energetic kind of vortex. And that's what I find really interesting. As we're starting to come to a close and to the end of the messages that were coming through, I want to invite everyone who's listening to this podcast to know you have access. You have direct access to wisdom, to source energy, to ideas, innovations, creative insights, guidance, love, belonging, oneness, all of it. You have direct access to all of it. And today's message is for you to remember that you can access all of the solutions directly from source. And that you also, as you become more receptive and you open up your capacity to receive, are untouchable, unfazable, depending on where you're at in the spectrum, from being taken advantage of, used, affected by those whose receptors are closed. But it all starts with you deciding to be open to receiving first and foremost. And you must believe that this exists, that this opportunity to fully receive is available to you. And once you know it's available to you, it's time to decide. Decide to pursue it. Decide to experience it. And as you do those two things, believe it, know it, and decide to receive, you will have more intuition, more guidance, more solutions, creative solutions, stand out as somebody who's truly bringing something fresh, unique, and innovative. Be a peacock in your industry. That is progress. That is growth. And our ability to do this is greater than it's ever been. Because our evolution is moving faster than it ever has before. And more people are finding their way to this truth. The last time it caught on like this was with religion, which was, what, I don't know, thousands of years ago, probably longer. This time it's different. It's individuated religion. Individuated in that it does not require any sort of structure for rules that are imposed by other people. This is 100% one-on-one personal access to source. No longer is your proximity to all of this powerful, nourishing, transformative source energy limited. You don't have to go through gates and rules and steps and through other leaders to get there. You have a direct access pass, a fast pass, and it all begins with opening up your receptors and increasing your capacity to receive. Thank you so much for tuning in to today's podcast. I'd love to hear how this podcast is affecting you, impacting you. If you feel called to leave a review, it would be so appreciated. And in the meantime, I'm holding intention and seeing you opening up, receiving, turning up those receptor lights as you alchemize and become even more aware of where you are subconsciously holding on to frequencies of fear, attachment, and judgment. That's all for today. Goodbye.
Thank you for tuning in and your contribution in raising your own frequency in the entire collectives. For more resources and bonus material, check out the link in the description of this episode. Until next time, happy manifesting.